Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
I'm all right, thank you very much. The scene this morning was me dealing with what can only be described as some dirty old maggots in my bin, in my outside bin, Chris. Aww. I went to my bloody bin, I faced a few more bloody blue bottles flying around here, and I was like, oh, goodness, there's bloody maggots in the bottom of the bin, how's that bloody happening?
What's happening to your house, Pete? Every day you're either smashing a wall down, spraying Domestos all over the floor and asbestos everywhere. Yeah. Bins mouldy and full of maggots. I'm worried about the state of your accommodation.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh my lord.
Gross.
Oh my lord. How's life treating you though?
Fine. Apart from the fact I'm just pouring a kettle into a bin to kill some maggots. Just, you know, it's just I just don't need the start of my day to be Donnie's making some breakfast maggot soup. That's not what I wanted from my life, but it's become my life.
I would like to see you create a YouTube channel and just film these like shorts, these like vignettes of your days, a day in the life of Pete Donaldson,
to kill a fucking
doing
load
really
of maggots.
Obscure activities like selling things out the back of your car. Or buying, you wanted to buy a van, a Japanese van, get it imported into Portsmouth last time I spoke to you. Now you've...
Oh, somebody bloody, somebody sent me, and I had a little peek. It was in my DMs and on Instagram, and, whoa, turn down your phone, Donaldson. What is this? Amateur hour. Someone sent me this. Yes, just heard the pod, My High Jet on Instagram. That has the an auto, which I presume is some kind of it's a good auto. They've converted a 1997 Daihatsu Hi-Jet camper van into, you know, like something to sort of roll around the British countryside with, and it looks so fucking adorable. You got a little table in there, little battery, little bed it can convert into. It's lovely stuff, Chris. It's really, really solid work. So well done, My Hi-Jet person. And thank you for the... it's Jack Moulsdale and Lily Moulsdale. And they look like they're having a lovely
time. There's a
time.
Lot of YouTube channels these days so where well folks done, have like taken a van, converted it, and sort of gone around the country or gone around Europe or whatever, having the time of their life. It's all the rage. I'm surprised you haven't done it. You seem like someone that would like to hop in the back of a van and go off around the world.
Yeah, but mine would just be like getting a transit van and just having a mattress in the back. and that's just a bad look for me generally, especially because I'm rocking a moustache at the moment.
Yeah, you do look a bit shady. I'm not gonna lie. When's this getting shaved off? Yeah. Why have you got a moustache now?
I'll tell you now, I've got a WrestleMe live show this weekend and I am going to be dressed as not Macho Man Randy Savage. That probably would have helped if I had a moustache or a beard. I'm dressing up as Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh,
so I'll have
back.
To shave it off. Not my hair though.
God, I remember Stone Cold
gotta
Steve Austin.
Wig.
I remember WWE at the time, as it was called. Yeah, those were the days. Yep. Great PlayStation game as well. Did I tell you? I don't know if I announced it publicly, but I'm going to Los Angeles to get beaten up in the near future.
Right, okay. I mean, I believe that
not,
you...
It's not a night out in Los Angeles. Heard, it's a genuine competition.
I'd heard about this on the last podcast, and I worry for you and the things that you do. What's this about, then, Chris? Who's hurt you? Why are you angry? Have you become? Have you been listening to that kickboxer online who tells you to take control of your life and be powerful physically and be all about women?
God. No, I'm above that. I like to think, but. I've just realised I don't even know if I can talk about it yet. I don't even know if it's public, so I have to backtrack quickly and swiftly. But no,
That's fine.
I might one day be in Los Angeles.
He didn't say boxing match.
Yeah,
he said boxing match. He said
catching the foxes.
Foxing batch. A foxing batch. He's getting a batch of foxes to domesticate in Japan because they love the fox and they are. What's Fox in Japanese?
Kitsune.
It's a record company. Kitsune! There we go. Yeah. He wants to domesticate them like the Russians did in the 50s. and he wants to... Yeah. Yes, there you go.
The Russians domesticated foxes? Wait, what?
I think the Russians domesticated fox... Sorry, not the 50s. Probably the 1850s. They definitely domesticated the fox for a bit. And I can't remember why they gave up on that project. But my dogs will go absolutely crazy at the sight of a fox. But I kind of want to tell them, look, you're pretty much the same fucking thing. You do, like, sometimes the foxes will... When they're on the in the backyard, they'll just pick up one of, like, Lola's toys and just start squeaking it. Squeak, 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 squeak. Because they're just
playful
dogs. They're just dogs. Ginger dogs with big ears.
Playful creatures. And that is how you dig yourself out of
playful
a hole
creatures.
And backpedal a
yeah.
thing that you don't know if you could
foxes.
Talk about
hey,
instead
look at
of
the
having to edit the podcast. It's much easier. Remember
exactly.
last week's episode we Good. Talked about idioms. I dug out my book, 101 Japanese Idioms.
Oh, you found
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So last week we had, what was it? Sarumo kikaru ochiru. Monkeys fall, even monkeys fall from trees. Like even experienced people fuck up. And neko ni koban,
yeah.
coins to a cat. I like that. Meaning it's like wasting money. Like when you give Natsuki money, neko ni koban. I opened the book and the first one I've got is saba. Saba o yomu. What do you think that means? Saba means mackerel.
Saba?
Saba
right.
means mackerel. What does yomu mean?
Right.
You know this
yomu.
One.
Yomi
yes,
mas
good.
Is to
yes.
read.
So put it all together.
You can't read a mackerel.
Exactly. This is saba o yomu, to read the mackerel. And there's a little picture there of a man literally attempting to read the mackerel, an illustration there, a pile of mackerel. Apparently
right.
it means
what does
to
it mean?
Manipulate the figures to one's advantage or to offer false numbers intentionally or to inflate or deflate figures. So,
where's that come from though?
Well, it gives a little explanation. Among fish caught in nets, mackerel are so little valued that Japanese fishermen may not bother to count them. Often the rough estimate of mackerel have been highly inflated, given rise to use the phrase reading the mackerel to indicate the practice of guesstimating in one's own favour. So next time I negotiate my contract with Stack, I will read the mackerel. I'll get a bigger cut of the profits. And that's the way it goes.
Read that mackerel.
What else is there? What about mushi no iki? Do you know what mushi is? Insect.
No, I don't.
Iki means
no.
breathe.
Insect.
Iki means
icky.
Breath.
Eat the iki mass no. to go. To go to the
to get,
insect.
No. Iki in this case means breath. So mushi no iki, the breath of an insect, which means near one's death.
Oh,
almost
small.
Dead.
Oh, you got a very small. Yeah, okay. That's just descriptive, isn't it? I suppose. Like, he's got the breath of the insect.
Breath of the insect. He's basically on his way out. He's going to die soon.
We'll all have it soon. We'll all have the breath of the insect if we keep eating this renewable. You had the breath of the insect when you went near that bee larva and slated it. You. Why don't you back Japan? You sickening
pig.
Don't bring
that crap up again. see if I can find one more that even Pete can know. But they're all too complicated. No, I think I see a lot. Yeah, I see a lot. Oh, no. All right. Maybe one more. Fuck. This is such a big... There's 101 idioms in here that I only learned like two of them.
Yeah.
I hate myself. Why couldn't I have been better? What about this one? All right. Katami ga semai. A semi, do you know what that means?
Katamiga
semi.
No. Katamiga semi. Semi, not a clue. Katami, not a clue.
Well, semi means narrow. So, like narrow, right. Or small in terms of physical space inside. Katami semi. Means shoulders. So yeah. It means narrow shoulders. A feeling of inferiority or inadequacy. When in the presence of others who are superior in some respect, one's feelings of inferiority may be intensified. The physical manifestation of this feeling is shrinking into oneself. The Japanese picture this reaction as a drawing in of the shoulders, katamiga semai. And there's a drawing there of a woman who's sort of drawing in her shoulders and making herself small and inferior.
Right.
Just like when I'm in,
it's all about being
when
macho,
I'm in Connor's
isn't it?
Presence, when I'm in the presence of Sea Dog VA, katamiga semai.
Yeah,
I feel small.
Oh,
against his ego.
We've got a story. Get a bigger car.
Yeah, get a bigger car than his. We've got a story this week from Mark Smith from Niagara, Ontario, Canada, where the fools are. Hi, guys. I wanted to share my unbelievable experience that could only happen in Japan. My wife and I are two over 60s going on 40. What does that mean? Two over 60s going on 40.
So I guess they're young at heart. Two over 60s going on 40.
That's clever.
But not so young at heart as they're in their 20s. Manageable. Just manageable.
My wife and I spent 4 weeks in 2019 travelling around Japan using the Japan Rail Card. Good value for money. On one occasion, while we were travelling from Hakata in Fukuoka to Kyoto via the Shinkansen, I realised that I'd left my small travel guitar on a bench in Hakata Station. Upon arriving at Kyoto, I visited the lost luggage office, and after 10-15 minutes, the staff managed to locate an excellent English-speaking member of staff who'd made an effort.
Who came out playing some massive fat licks on it.
He walked out with my guitar, and that was the end. No, the English-speaking member of staff made an effort to take all my details, including our hotel location, which was located next to the station. The staff member called Hakata Station and discovered the guitar had been handed into staff and was sitting in the lost and found in Hakata. As I had a rail pass, I said I would take a Shinkansen back to collect the guitar, to which the rail staff said no. Not on your bike. It will be put on a train and they will email me when it arrives. The next day, we went about touring, enjoying the sights of Kyoto, and arrived back at our hotel room by 8 p.m. And there, laying on our bed, entombed in an unbelievable amount of bubble wrap, was our guitar. No note, just my name and hotel on a sticky note attached to the bubble wrap. Regards, Mark Smith, Niagara, who got his guitar.
That's amazing.
Bubble wrapped. To perfection.
Well done, Mark Smith.
That's nice, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. I hope that was a letter written a few years ago by Mark E. Smith, the singer from the. From
which has
band.
Been sitting in the fax machine for 3 years, four. 3 or 4 years, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
I
wouldn't put it past you.
We've had some nice stories of lost and found over the years, though, but rarely have we had one where the lost item has been bubble wrapped. Sent 500 miles on a bullet train and been carefully placed on a bed in a hotel room. That is pretty good stuff, to be honest.
But imagine having that sort of job satisfaction, that you're able to make people happy to such a great degree. I think it's a beautiful thing, and it's not just about the person who's receiving that help. I think it's the people who are able to administer that help as well.
I mean, that's how I feel doing the Abroad Japan podcast every week, twice.
Exactly.
I feel the exact same sense of self-satisfaction. But lovely story there, Mark. I'm glad you got your guitar safe and sound. Wonderful story. What's going on in Japan this week, though, Pete? What's the news of the week? What's going down? Oh, wait. I'm in charge of the news this week, aren't I?
You're in charge. You're the captain now.
Oh, it's the world is upon my shoulders. So this week, got a nice fun story. We've had some wacky hotels over the years that have done some rather strange things. I remember there was a hotel a year ago during the height of COVID to desperately try and fill some hotel rooms. I think the rooms were free, weren't they? And do you remember they let you stay in the room for free, but all you had to do was shout it out on Instagram or something ridiculous. And then before that, we had the hotel in Hakata, where the guitar got lost, or forgotten rather. There was the hotel where you could stay for free, but you were on a live stream throughout the day, throughout the night, being streamed on the internet. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yes, I do remember that one because I always wanted to stay in it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that hotel. I think it faded away into the night. I don't think it proved as popular as they envisioned it. The idea behind that one was they thought the ad revenue from posting the live videos of strangers staying at the hotel would cover the costs, but clearly didn't.
I remember the YouTube page got hacked and it was hawking Bitcoin for a while.
That's not good. But there's a much better hotel than that now. In Shizuoka, it's about an hour outside of Tokyo by bullet train south, and a place that I've yet to really visit. It's also home to Mount Fuji. There's a hotel in Japan that's been putting a beer tap in each room and giving you a huge quantity of free beer to drink. Now, craft beer has been taking off in Japan the last half decade. Before that, it was few and far between. Now it's all the rage. People love it. And there's a company down in Shizuoka called West Coast Brewing that's become very quickly one of Japan's most popular craft breweries. And that is down in Shizuoka. And a hotel has opened just across the road from the brewery called the Villa and Barrel Lounge. And in each of the hotel's five rooms is Pete Donaldson's wet dream. It comes with a beer tap and a supply of 10 litres of West Coast Brewing beer per night, free for the guests to enjoy. Exclusive 10 litres. And the room itself is a steal. It's actually quite a spacious villa set across, I think, two floors. And it was 30,000 yen, like $250. But 10 litres of beer?
Yeah.
That's, what is that? How many pints is that? That's like a dozen pints or something.
It's quite a few.
That's a dangerous night.
It's enough, I think it's fair to say.
I mean, you could just like do the Barney Gumble from The Simpsons and just lay flat underneath the tap, pull it and just sip it all night long. Does this appeal to you at all, Pete? What do you make of this?
Well, you know my feelings about drinking at home, and I think this very much sits under that for me. I think the whole charm of drinking is that you're seeing other people, you know, out and about. I find this very very dry. Just sitting in your hotel room drinking.
Well, you'd do it with a friend, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be sitting in there alone, hopefully. That would be pretty depressing, I'm not gonna lie. But it's quite a nice idea. It's nice to always hear these quirky ideas to help put a hotel on the map. Like last week, these sort of things, these gestures, they did deliver in PR terms. Just last week, we talked about the squid, the $250,000 squid in Noto, and we joked about it for years, but this squid generated $15 million of free publicity. So these kind of gestures, even though I have no idea how they could possibly profit from having 10 litres of beer at just that price point, I guess the PR from it alone is worth it, right? Like, it makes me think, if I was to open like a hotel or Airbnb, I would just do something quirky in it to like help put it on the map, wouldn't you?
I'd pour petrol in the foyer and just have a burning hotel. Come stay at my burning hotel. It's very warm.
That just sounds like genocide. That sounds awful. Or homicide. Then.
How big do you think this hotel is?
that's just homicide. That's not good.
Yeah. All right.
What do you want to do?
The breadth
of your ideas.
Why are you asking me what I would do? Like, you know what I would do. I'd try my very best to try to run a hotel properly. I'd fall well short because my idea of hotel, loveliness, would fall very short. I'd just have a nightmare time. I'd upset everyone who'd give me the money to do it. And yeah, that's how I would run my hotel. Poorly and into the ground.
And
with gusto.
Petrol and insurance claims through the roof. I mean, there's some cool hotels in Japan. I saw Emma on Tokyo Creative. They did a video where they went to a love hotel with a slide in it. And I've been to some cool love hotels over the years, but a bloody slide in a swimming pool in a love hotel room, that looks so much fun. And like, I think Connor and I went to a love hotel, but there was nothing in it apart from karaoke, which is pretty standard in every room, right? They've got the robot dinosaur hotel, where there's robot dinosaurs in the lobby and a few little quirks in the room, like a wardrobe that cleans all your clothes automatically at night using some revolutionary steaming process that I've yet to comprehend. So it's always cool to see these hotels. Like, there's just, because of the Olympics, every city in Japan now has a massive, like, just so many big hotels around each train station, and they're all very bland, very boring. And it's just like, come on, put something in there. Put a dinosaur in there. Put a beer tap in there.
I just want to be in a really boring brown business hotel. It's got no floor space at all. The entire thing's taken up with a big double bed. And I want an integrated old 70s FM radio that picks up like three stations and they just chatter along. And it's integrated with the light system and it's integrated with the aircon. It's like an old lady's breath. And I want it to smell of fags, and I want a complimentary bottle of Febreze to spray my clothes. That's what I want, because I've not been allowed in Japan for 3 years.
You've literally just described a room that I remember very clearly staying in like 5 years ago. When my when my sister came to Japan for the first time, when I was a teacher, I saved up like an entire month's teaching salary to stay at the Park Hyatt Hotel on the first night, right?
Wow.
Yeah, your favourite. Bill Murray, Lost in Translation Hotel. Everyone loves it for that reason. Good views, lovely hotel. Not worth it. There's far better ones. Don't stay there. But anyway, apart from the bar. You go up to the bar and the restaurant, don't stay there. And then on the second night, because I had blown all my money on the first night, we stayed in the roughest, cheapest, worstest hotel in all of Tokyo. It was round the back of Ueno Station, and it is literally exactly what you discussed a minute ago, what you described, that sort of powerful smell of 100 million cigarettes dating back to the 1960s, the walls stained yellow from said cigarettes. And yeah, what your description was really great, of like how the air conditioning unit and the radio and the lights are all built into that little panel that's typically right next to the bed in between the two twin beds, right? Like, the standardised Japanese hotel room of the 60s was a glorious thing, but not by the time it made it to the 2010s. And those hotels are dying out pretty quickly. They're dying out, so probably for the best.
I like the cigarette smells.
No, they're not as good as you think, Pete. They're not as good as you think.
Oh, I just want to be there.
Give me a free beer tap any day. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with a fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Derek C. Hello, Derek C. Hello, Sinistral Chris and Dextral Pete. Derek from Philadelphia here. As someone considering becoming an alt, A-L-T, I felt it a unique opportunity to ask Mr. Affable himself about his experience in Japan regarding his left-handedness. Has your left-handedness ever been the subject of discussion or a matter of controversy? Regards, Derek C.
Well, yes, because in Japan you typically write... Everyone writes with their right hand, right? Just because that's the direction they write in Japan when they go on a page. If you do it with your left hand, it doesn't really work, and you end up smudging over all the characters and all the kanji characters. So, yeah, they basically make sure no one writes with their left hand here. It gets noticed a lot. They call it Southpaw here because of baseball. It's really odd.
Yeah,
when I started working as a teacher, people would be coming up to me being like, "Oh, Southpaw," and I was like, "What the bloody hell's that? It sounds like a bear, something to do with bears." But yeah, it's really rare, and they treat it like something very mysterious has happened. But it's never been like a bad thing. It's never been a bad point of controversy. It's never led anywhere, anything dark happening. So don't worry about that, Derek. If you're left-handed, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But I can understand entirely why they write with their right hand here. It makes a lot more sense. I don't know why I write with my left hand. Why did that happen? Any ideas? Why do people write with their left hand?
I don't know. My dad's left-handed, and he makes a terrible mess when he tries to write properly. But back in the 70s, the school teachers would hit your hand with a ruler if you tried to write left-handed. I do have a very dodgy writing. We spoke about this before, where I sort of write with... everybody else writes like this. Chris can see this. Nobody else can. But I write like that.
Oh, my God.
But I can draw like nobody's business. I can draw all kinds of
You clutch
stuff.
The pen with your whole hand in a very odd manner.
Yeah,
that might explain
weird.
The chopsticks and how you hold the chopsticks.
It
if
might
you
do.
See,
it very
if you
much might do, Christopher.
If you want to see how pen hold, if you want to see how Pete holds a pen, go back and watch the Osaka video where we eat a what was it, like an okonomiyaki pancake or something. That is exactly how Pete holds his pens. We've got one here from Lee from Basildon. Woohoo. Hi, gents. Now that Pete has moved to my neck of the woods, he's probably realising Southend in Essex has a real homelessness problem. Homelessness problem. Is that a double negation?
Yeah.
No. All right. How is homelessness in Japan? Are Japanese just too indirect to ask for money, or are the social norms around this that different? What support is there for the homeless? Cheers, guys. Lee from Basildon. Homelessness in Japan is an issue for sure. It is a different dynamic, I suppose. There's a lot, like in the UK, there's a lot more people who sort of ask for money if you've asked for change and stuff. In Japan, none of the homeless folks that I've ever encountered have ever asked for change or money. They very much just sort of keep to themselves, and they are there. They're in the tunnels, they're under the bridges. It is a problem. I don't know that much about it. I know there's a great channel called Life Where I'm From, run by Greg, and he's done a multi-part documentary series on homelessness in Japan, and he's tackled it very well and sort of looked into how it happens and why it happens. And, you know, in Japan, if something goes wrong with your family and you're on your own, then very quickly you can become homeless and it take you down a slippery slope there. But his documentary series has tackled it far better than I ever could, so I'd highly recommend checking it out. Life Where I'm From. Any thoughts, Pete, on homelessness?
Yeah, I mean, you see homeless people in like Yogi Park and places in these beautifully constructed cardboard constructions. But I think the main insidious problem is the people kind of like fit in between the kind of the transient kind of sleeping in all night internet cafes you know, karaoke rooms and stuff. Like they're the people who are homeless, but they don't necessarily register as such. So in any city you get that. Not as much, it has to be said, as anywhere else, but there's a bit of a kicking around.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. You're probably we've probably both seen the same documentary. Is it on Vice or something? There's a probably, girl who lives in a manga cafe, internet cafe, which kind of we don't have them in the UK. How would you describe it, really? You get a little booth where you get a little booth with a chair and a TV, and you get like a drink bar, and you go in there, and you can, for a certain amount of money, you can spend like, you know, as much time as you want in there. You can drink as much as you want, and that is almost the equivalent of having like a hotel room, and it's often cheaper. So yeah, you're right. Just because you don't see people necessarily on the streets, there are people living it rough and tough in these sort of places. So yeah, some really good documentaries though on homelessness in Japan. Highly recommend checking them out. We've got one here from Ian, who is confused in Setagaya. As he describes, Setagaya is a really affluent neighbourhood in Tokyo. And he says, hello, coniferous Chris and portentous Pete. My name's Ian. I arrived in Setagaya today without my wife, daughter or dog, like you do. The idea is for me to be here by myself, rent an apartment, for all of us to be ready for the family to arrive. I immediately felt regret upon sitting in the cab, realising that I'm effectively an idiot child here with only a two-year-old's understanding of the language. My question is, did you experience any early regret and panic when arriving, or did you arrive earlier in your life, giving you a better starting point? Respectfully, Ian, who, again, remains confused in Setagaya. Well, I was lucky, wasn't I? I came on the JET program, and I think if you come in with a job, you kind of get taken like pretty good care of by your employer, and they have to make sure they sort out the apartment and all the insurance and all the documents. If you come here without that, then it is a pretty tricky thing, and I don't even know where you'd begin, really. Ian didn't explain his situation, did he, on what he's actually doing here, right? No.
No, yeah. No, he didn't, no. We are completely in the dark.
What are you doing, Ian? Are you a reasonably priced hitman? What's going on? I want to know. But I think you'll be all right. It's going to be all right. And you're in Tokyo as well, Ian. Like, you know, I know a lot of people that started in really obscure places in the countryside without any facilities or any sort of connections to the outside world. You're in the middle of the world's biggest city, and Tokyo is very good at being a place to sort of kick off your time in Japan. You've got a lot of, like, things to help you. You've got a lot of people there to help you along the way. So I'm sure you'll be fine. I hope you find somewhere. If you can't, check out Alex at Tokyo Portfolio. Check him out. My mate Alex, who I often do videos with.
Yeah.
We did a video the other day, going to look at a nice apartment overlooking the sea in the rain. The weather didn't play ball. But yeah, Tokyo Portfolio. He's pretty good at finding property if you struggle. Best of luck to you, though. And I hope you get the apartment all set up before your wife and the daughter and the dog come over. That's going to be quite a thing in itself. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.